Hello, everybody, and welcome to Tippy Talk. It is time now to sit back and relax and listen and enjoy the moment. The official band that provided all the music for Tippy Talk is Newborn. If you have not heard of them yet, you will, because they're on the brink of exploding into a world-renowned band. If you want to hear more of their music, you can go to newbornband.com and enjoy the wonderful sounds. But now it's time to step into the Tippy Zone, where we explore the other side of reality, the side that allows you to reshape your life, to step into your power, and to connect to the fact that we are all one. Welcome to Tippy Talk. My name is Tippy Felsenstein, and I am now going to tell you about my story. It's a story about going to the hospital with my mother, which I'm going to start in a minute. But before I do, I want to invite you to tell me your story, to share something that either happened to you or that is happening to you. And it doesn't have to be something inspirational. It just has to be your story. So go ahead and either comment below, tell me you have a story, or you email me at tippytalkshow@gmail.com. And we're looking forward to hearing your story. Today we're going to talk about hospitals and what it feels like to be in a hospital, what to do to survive hospitals, and really why I am in the hospital. And so the reason I'm going to talk about hospitals today is because my mother, who has severe dementia, is in the hospital, and we took her in the hospital to kind of see why she was breathing really heavily. She wasn't breathing very well, and the doctor came, took a quick look at her, and said, "You better rush her to the hospital because her oxygen level is so low, her heart is beating so fast, and she can hardly breathe, and the heart muscle can only handle that long, and after a while, it will just stop working." So we rushed her to the hospital, to the emergency room, and I don't have to tell you what kind of a nightmare it is to sit through an emergency room, especially in Brooklyn, New York, where there is trauma and drama literally every second, with a new ambulance, a new case, a new trauma team that has to be brought in. And so we really stayed in the emergency room, I think it was 48 hours, where in another hospital it could have been taken care of in 12 hours with a lot of waiting. But because it was here, everything took forever. Meanwhile, they're sticking needles everywhere in my mother's body. They're sticking a tube down so she can urinate. They're sticking tubes on her nose. She's terrified. Sticking needles all over her arm. As you know, they have to take an IV. And so I, of course, didn't sleep all night waiting for them to do what they should have done pretty quickly, but they did it very slowly. And then after the 48-hour wait, when they finally decided what it was that she needs to have done, they decided they're going to admit her to the hospital, which was no big shock. We knew that was going to happen. But guess what? There is no beds available in the hospital for her, so she has to stay downstairs in the emergency room with the chaos, with the beeping, with the people coming in and out, and here she is very sick for another 12 hours just waiting for a bed so that to become available so she can go up to her unit. So that was the nightmare that we endured coming here. But even more than that, the ambulance ride. I have to tell you the ambulance ride, because that in itself literally almost gave her a heart attack. And I'm not saying this to be dramatic. I'm saying if they came into the house, they measured her breathing and pressure and all that. And of course, everybody knew she was going to the hospital. So they take her on a chair, three guys, just basically throw her on the chair, take her down, then take her out of the chair into a bed. That in itself is so dramatic for someone that doesn't know what's going on because she has severe dementia. So she's scared, she's terrified. You can see in her eyes that she's so terrified. And then they take her up to the ambulance with all that noise and sirens and bumping and the bed being thrown around. She's getting more and more and more terrified. The paramedic comes and checks her and he goes, oh my God, she's having a heart attack. She's experiencing a heart attack. And he starts giving her medication for a heart attack. And everybody's freaking out, but she's freaking out more than anybody else. And so we have, and I'm sitting there being thrown around from place to place. I literally had a heart attack almost, so I can totally understand why a person that doesn't know what's going on, that is very, very sick, that can barely breathe, and that has dementia, would definitely experience a minor heart attack on a situation like that. If you're hearing a lot of noise in the background, just to tell you, I'm going to stop. It's because I'm in a hospital room. The monitors are going off like crazy everywhere. There is some kind of a test going on in the room on the other side that you can hear the noise from it. But the hospital is not exactly a quiet place for patients to heal. It's more like Grand Central Station, where even healthy people would get sick just hanging around. But that's the hospital atmosphere. I haven't ever seen a hospital that had a better atmosphere than this. And since I'm sitting here in the hospital, I decided to reach out and tell you about it and give you my experience. And really what I want to know is if you've ever had a better experience than that. If you've ever been taken into an emergency room and treated like a patient and a human being, if you've ever been admitted to a hospital and had the kind of healing environment that every patient really deserves and that everyone really should get, because that's really what hospital is supposed to be about. The trauma center in the emergency room, I can understand. It's a trauma center, it's an emergency room. This is where people come in with extreme emergencies, or this is what it should be. But upstairs, on the floor, where the nurses and the doctors, well, the doctors don't even show up that much, but the staff doesn't take into consideration that they're dealing with very sick people. Well, duh, you're in the hospital, you're not going to be here if you're healthy. So when you deal with sick people, it's not just the body and the vitals that you're treating, the whole person. But that's not ever taken into consideration in any hospital I've ever been to. So today I'm in this hospital. In case you're wondering which hospital I'm in my monitors. And it's really kind of the same like every other hospital I've been to, only with a twist of this hospital of how this is. So finally, after we sit in the emergency room for what seemed like forever, because I'm there day and night, and how much can one person put up with not sleeping at night before they have a breakdown? Finally, somebody comes in and relieves me, and I get to go home and get some sleep, which actually was such an amazing thing. And so if you have a parent or a family member that's experiencing dementia and that has their health deteriorating, I would suggest the first thing to do is to get into a group of people so you can get ideas from other people, the things to do and the things not to do. And then if you have to get into a hospital, really always make sure that either you or somebody you know is with them. That would be my takeaway from the emergency room and from the hospital room upstairs, where we still are. So then we get into the room where she's going to stay. And the first thing they want to do is, of course, now she already has all these tubes sticking out of her hands and her nose and her every opening of her body, she has a tube sticking out. And she doesn't like it. And she has dementia, so what she does when she doesn't like it, she takes it out. So the first thing they do is stick mittens on her hands, which means that she can't move her hands. Imagine not knowing what's going on and having all these things stuck inside of you and needles poked at you. Her entire arm is black and blue. And all of a sudden, you have mittens on your hands and you have no usage of your hands, where in her particular case, her hands happen to be one of the things that she constantly is moving. She never holds her hands still. So they put two mittens on her now where she can't move her hand. Now, one of them, I understand, because the IV is in there, and if she will pull it out, she will bleed. I get that. But I said, can you please keep one hand open so she can at least have the freedom of one hand? And they looked at me like I fell from another planet. But of course, I insisted. And of course, I took off the mitten. And I did literally have to beg. The nurse comes in and says, what did you do? And she's getting ready to put it back on. I'm like, no, please, I can't handle it. Please don't put it on her. And so they didn't. And again, you have to insist and you have to know what you're looking for. For me, what I'm looking for to give her is really basically to try to make her as comfortable as I possibly could. And if that means not wearing a mitten, and if that means that I have to constantly get up and put, for example, with her, she needs oxygen, and she keeps removing the oxygen. And she might not be able to do that with the mittens on, even though she's found a way to take them both off. She could be Houdini right now. But if it means having to stick the oxygen back into her nose, which actually, we really have to do it right now as we speak, and I am going to do it. We're going to take that oxygen, we're going to put it back in the nose so that we don't go too low. And so even if I have to do it every 10 minutes or so, and even though we cannot take it out because the oxygen level will go too low and then she won't be able to breathe again, it's definitely worth it to stop and check every 10 minutes and make sure that the oxygen is there and that she can breathe. Rather than tie her up and have her dementia deteriorate even further. Because what's the point of keeping her alive if I'm going to take her home a vegetable? And so that's the first thing they do. And then the second thing they want to do is stick a tube down her nose to help her breathe, because they're saying her oxygen level isn't high enough. Well, she already has a tube inserted so that she can urinate. And I don't know if you're aware of it, but when you stick tubes into people's bodies, the risk of infection is really, really high. And so if they stick a tube down her nose, that's another risk of an infection. And by the way, I was right, because she did develop a urinary tract infection from that tube, which they did have to remove after a day. So we've been here Friday, Saturday, and today up in the room. And she already developed a urinary infection in 24 hours right after they stuck it in. But I wasn't going to fight them, because I have to pick my battles in the hospital. I don't want to be kicked out. And their procedure is their procedure, and really, if you try to fight their procedure too much, they can call security and have you kicked out. And see, in a matter of 2 minutes, I had to adjust it again so that she wouldn't remove it. But like I said, definitely, definitely worth it. And so in closing, what I'm going to finish this story with, and I will continue this next week, letting you know what happened, or if you want me to continue sooner, you let me know and I will. So basically, the bottom line, we found that she wasn't able to breathe because She actually has a big blood clot and a small blood clot situated right smack between her lungs and her heart. And so it's blocking air from getting into her heart and her lung. And in order to dissolve that, they decided that they were going to give her blood thinner, which is also risky, but the risk is higher when you don't take blood thinner. And they did decide to send her home with oxygen so that we can treat her from home with a blood thinner. And now, of course, they also have to give her antibiotics because of the urinary tract infection. And she also has to take blood pressure medication. And all those do have side effects, which I don't know what they are. I have to look them up, but I will let you know what they are. So that's what I'm doing in the hospital. That's the noise you're hearing in the background. And that's my story in the hospital. And the reason I'm telling you this story, which happens to be something that I'm going through right now, is because I want to hear your story. I want to hear what kind of things that you've been through and what you learned from that. What I've learned from that is how to navigate through the hospital routine without getting killed or put in a coma or getting worse. I should have insisted that they don't stick that tube in her urinary tract. They didn't, because I was exhausted. And because I was in the emergency room for so many hours, otherwise I probably would not have let him do that. But and so, of course, she has an infection, which she has to take antibiotics, which also really reduces your immune system. And what I really would like to know from you is, what have you gone through? Because right here on Sippy Talk, your story is the most important thing to us. We want to hear about it, we want to know about it, and we want to talk to you. So don't be shy. You can email me at sippytalkshow@gmail.com, and we will talk about it. And so, being that I'm in the hospital room, that's all you're going to hear for today. It's me, along with all the noises and all the commotion that is going on here, because she's not alone in the room. There is another person here who is going through the same drama that any other patient in the hospital would go through. And so, until we meet again, hopefully next week, Monday at 5, where I hope that I will not be in the hospital any longer. Because as it stands now, I'm probably going to leave tomorrow or on Wednesday. Have a wonderful day. And actually, I'd like to wish you a magical journey. And let your talent be your potion. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy the shamanic music that I will put on so that you can bring out thoughts of healing and health and happiness and joy. Because the more you think of those things, or whatever it is that you think about, you bring that into your life. And so that's what I want to wish for you. Have a magical journey.